And if you make a deal that this is a passionate kiss, I'm not leading you on, I just really want to get into this kiss, then they keep kissing. And when we keep kissing, it keeps a little spark going in the brain, even after 54 years. You still can get a little spark.
Joyce Penner is with us again today on Focus on the Family with her husband, Dr. Cliff Penner, and they'll share how you can increase the romance and enjoyment of physical intimacy in your marriage. And, of course, this is the kind of conversation that won't be appropriate for younger listeners. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
We started a wonderful conversation last time about why God designed sexuality the way that he did and what he desires for us in that area when we are committed in a healthy marriage. And I am grateful to talk about it because I'm tired of the world redefining the context of marriage and sexuality. And so often we just give too much space to the world here. We need to start proclaiming the wonderful gift God has given us. And we're going to continue the discussion today with Joyce and Cliff. We addressed last time why it's important for you as a woman to recognize that sex is also for you. So many women feel it's their duty, and we covered that, and that this is something I'm not really into, but I will do that for my husband. Sometimes the shoe is on the other foot, and we recognize that sometimes husbands have a physical issue, or they just have emotional difficulty, and they're the ones that are not inclined in the physical relationship. Today, we're going to discuss how trauma or sexual addictions can negatively impact your relationship, but we're going to start where we left off with their formula for intimacy. Cliff and Joyce, welcome back to Focus.
Thank you.
Glad to be here as long as we can.
I thought our conversation last time was so helpful in so many ways. And to reframe it, we in the church, I think, have been far too negative on physical intimacy. We kind of have, I think, followed centuries-old traditions within the church where this is negative. This is something we don't talk about. We do this thing, but we certainly don't embrace it wholeheartedly.
That is how, in some ways, we let the world teach our kids about sex rather than modeling and communicating the attitude that we believe is scriptural.
Right. And you've come along as sex therapist, Christian sex therapist, to say, hey, listen, God made this. Mm-hmm. He's not surprised. And you've written this wonderful book, Enjoy the Gift of Sexual Pleasure for Women. And it's really to you, women, to better understand how God has designed you to feel and to participate in a way that's healthy. And we left off last time about that formula for intimacy. So I'm pretty sure thousands are tuning in today because we left you hanging about their formula. So let's get to it. What is that formula to intimacy?
Just to set it up, we firmly believe that the best sexual life will grow out of an intimate relationship. And so this is about the intimacy in the relationship part that kind of is the precursor to a joyful sex life.
And the most important part of our formula is the 15 minutes per day.
Of what?
Of connecting with each other. And it's very prescriptive because it does work. And what's interesting is we were teaching this from our clinical observation of what worked long before the sex and brain research came out.
And that reaffirmed what you were doing.
It was so fun.
What does that connection look like, though?
So you start with just sitting down. You can set a timer if you're concerned about...
Yeah, often the man will say, if we sit down to start talking, we'll be here for 2 hours.
So big disincentive.
Yeah, so we say, set the timer for 15 minutes, and when the timer goes off, you're done.
In fact, you can get these, you know, sand timers that go 15 minutes, and I've given those to gifts for premarital couples with this, where they can turn it upside down, and then it will
end. When the sand runs out, the conversation
ends. Now, do you ever find in your practice that sometimes that sounds so formulaic that you get some pushback from your patients who say, really?
Until they try it.
Until they try it. Yeah. And then it works, huh? Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's the challenge for you.
So the first thing is the emotional eye-to-eye connection.
And the reason for the eye-to-eye connection is that when we have eye-to-eye connection, our brain produces oxytocin, which is the bonding trust hormone. That's why we're to look in a baby's eyes when we feed them or talk to them. And that really is the bonding. And just share something positive. This isn't the time to work out your daily schedule.
Budget.
Or your last fight. This is, and even couples will say, but what if we're mad at each other? This is excellent to do when you're mad at each other.
So don't walk away from it. Go toward it.
Force it yourself to look into each other's eyes and say something positive. And it doesn't even have to be an affirmation of the other person, although those are good to build in. But it can be something positive that happened in your world that
day. Can I pry a little bit? Because those that aren't doing it probably don't even know what to talk about. Between the two of you, what would it sound like?
Okay, so we sure had a fun time with our friends this weekend, didn't we? And that was being on Focus on the Family. That was pretty neat. You know, so it could be something.
It was delighting in something together.
Right.
That we have shared.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about a good meal, a good experience, something positive.
Or I really appreciated something you did, you know.
And you don't end it with, we could have done better if you would have.
No.
say that.
Or it might be, I think you really look good in that purple dress. No, that's an affirmation too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So it can be something positive, thought, feeling, affirmation. Then go to connecting spiritually. And wherever you, the person or the couple is in their spiritual journey, that will vary.
Some couples will feel very comfortable praying together. Others, they don't do that. And so maybe they just want to read a one-page devotional for couples or
a scripture together.
A scripture together.
Or have a flip calendar. There are many online that you can get. I bet you probably have them here. That is a verse for the day or something like that.
So that you make a little spiritual connection. 2-3 minutes, that's all.
And then stand up and give each other a full body front-to-front hug for 20 seconds. And the reason is that the brain and sex research has shown, again, that a 20-second hug produces a big surge of the oxytocin, the trust and bonding hormone.
I feel like going 25, 30.
Okay, that's fine.
It's not a limit. You don't have to stop at 20.
But you have to go for 20.
It has to be heartfelt.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and give yourself into it. And you can have, if it's not comfortable, and we say for couples who, and there's some cultures who don't look into each other's eyes, if it isn't comfortable to do this, start by having playful time with it. You know, Google Eyes, whatever else. Hug. You're going to hug me. You know, play with it.
You're right.
Rather than get over the discomfort playfully.
But you got to get to the best part.
Oh, yeah. Then. It's then. And you don't start with this. And many men want to start with this. The woman is warmed up for this by the time you've done all this. Then you have a 5-to-30-second passionate kiss.
That is not designed to lead to a sexual experience.
And let me
it's
tell
an
you,
end in itself.
And let me tell you why. Many couples over time kiss less and less passionately and less frequently because this is how it goes. And when I tell this to the MOPS groups, the mothers groups, they all know it and laugh. He comes up to her and he wants to give her a kiss. And in her mind, she says, let's say, do I want to have sex tonight? I'm not sure. So then she turns the cheek. And if you make a deal that this is a passionate kiss, I'm not leading you on. This doesn't have anything to do with whether we want to have sex tonight. I just really want to get into this kiss. Then they keep kissing. And when we keep kissing, it keeps a little spark going in the brain, even after 54 years. You still can get a little spark.
That's so, that hormone.
That's the dopamine
surge.
Right.
That is the exciting surge.
So I'm sorry. I got to ask you the question, though, Cliff. You've never kissed Joyce with the idea that this could lead to something good.
Of course. Hope springs eternal.
But it can't be that. That's what he's counting on.
I did this, so why not this?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
You don't want to have that kind
and
of...
There's a big variation there between 5 and 30 seconds.
Yes.
Is there any...
Well, the reason we start with 5 is that a lot of couples who haven't been kissing at all, 5 is going to be long.
We used to say 30, and we realized in working with couples...
That was way too much.
Some couples had to start when there's been trauma, and we'll get to that, where kissing was misused, they may be able to do 1 second. and they we give them permission to grow in this.
Start where you can.
Yeah.
Right, that's what you're saying.
And then move it along.
Yeah.
The goal is 30 seconds.
Let me turn a little corner here. You want to empower women to lead sexually. Now, everybody just went, what?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Lead sexually. What do you mean by this? And what are the examples of the woman leading?
Okay, first of all, the reason we'll give is because her body, a woman is much more complex and ever-changing.
Yes.
Hormonally, the change is going on. And so if she leads with her body, he's much more predictable and simplistic, so to speak, sexually. And he can come along. But it's hard for her to come along at his pace. Mm-hmm. And when he gets ahead of her, she gets farther and farther behind.
Because she feels so much pressure to get going, and that pressure then makes her self-conscious, and then that slows down her response rather than speeding it up. So if the man can learn to take his cues from where the woman is in the process in terms of her level of arousal and readiness, then he is going to be able to follow along with that. That's what we mean by leading. We don't mean dominating. We don't mean...
Or demanding.
Or controlling. We're just saying, man, pick up your cues from the woman, and when
woman,
you do that...
listen to yourself and go with what your body is telling you and lead in that way. So...
Yeah.
Let me just say this. What's behind all this is that there's nothing that turns on a man more than a turned-on woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's what makes him feel best about himself.
Right, and that affirmation in reality.
That's his affirmation, whereas a woman's affirmation is him telling her how great she is. But his affirmation is her, so he tells her how great she is, that turns her on. When she gets turned on, that affirms him, and so it's a win-win.
So back to this woman leading sexually, if she's not getting the affirmation from him,
it's going to be harder.
What can she do?
Yeah, it's going to be harder. So then we've got to get him on board.
Well, how does she do that without saying, hey?
Well, what we often suggest is take a book like
Enjoy
and read it out loud together.
Yeah.
This is one of the best ways to break into old sexual patterns is to read a book out loud, not each go into your own corner and read it, and talk about it as you go.
We really want couples to hear this, or who's ever listening, because we can't tell you how many times we assign couples to read it together, and we always check, well, did you read it together? Well, no, she read her part and I read my part, and we sort of talked about it.
Yeah, it makes that learning curve all the bigger, right?
Oh.
Because you're not hearing the other person's part.
That's right.
Together. So,
it's almost like having a third party there.
Right.
It's a lot cheaper than going to therapy, let me tell you.
Let me ask you this. To the woman who doesn't even know what she likes, how do you go back and relearn a comment you just made, Cliff, to relearn those sexual patterns or better, healthier ones? How do you get back there? How does a woman, if you've been married 10, 20, 30, 40 years, how do you undo kind of that learning that you've had, perhaps negative learning that you've had, and undo that to put something healthier in there?
Mm-hmm. And if they have, again, a bit of a sense of humor they can go on, it helps. So if they can say, okay, we're doing it our old way, let's back up here. What are you feeling like? You know, what do you like? Well, let's kiss a little longer. Let's try kissing this way.
It's probably interesting how little conversation couples have around this area, because
Absolutely.
Of the uncomfortableness of
Absolutely.
It. I mean, you can be married for years and years and never have that simple discussion.
And we have had couples come to us for therapy who are experts in the area of marital communication and have communicated wonderfully in every area of life, except they've never talked about sex.
Cliff and Joyce, we got about half the program left, and I really want to dedicate some time to talking about those things that block intimacy, and there are many. We hear from hurting women who would love to enjoy a healthy sexuality, but have found sex to be a deep area of pain because they have been wounded. There may be past trauma. They've experienced things that are beyond their control. And there's guilt associated with that. There's many things that are hindering a healing in that area. Mm-hmm. Where do they start to find better footing in this area of intimacy in their marriage mm-hmm. with past trauma, past hurt?
Well, a foundation here is the belief that if a sexual life is going to be good for a lifetime, it has to be as good for one as it is for the other. So when we go with that mental set, then we can focus on finding out what the barriers are about and what we do with them.
And for her, when there's been woundedness, some kind of hurt that mm-hmm. happened to her, that will have to be dealt with. And that usually requires some outside help. Mm-hmm. And she needs to find a place where it's safe to just talk it over and over again, and maybe journal about it and write about it. Sometimes being in a group with other women who have experienced similar hurts helps to release that. But then once the hurt is dealt with, then she's going to need to take steps gradually in enjoying that the sexual relationship with her husband is safe, and that she can let herself be there and enjoy it for herself and take small steps.
Yeah.
We always think, I think if we're stuck somewhere, we always want to jump to the side where we want to be. And we have a little diagram in Enjoy of pouring steps like you pour concrete, and you let the first step dry, and it's a small step. And you have to be at that step till you... For example, let's say we talked about kissing. Let's say she was kissed inappropriately by a father or grandfather or whatever, and so kissing just makes her cringe. She's not going to just be able to get in there and get passionate kissing.
It's a negative thing.
It's a negative thing. Right. It was taken from her. So experiencing God's healing through prayer and intervention and using
in
God's
conversation
servants.
With her husband.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you this from a spiritual perspective, a physical intimacy perspective, mm-hmm. which you have talked about these last couple of days. It's right. so important to put those together, mm-hmm. your sexuality and your spirituality. Mm-hmm. Why does a woman get trapped in that cocoon of not moving forward to better enjoy her physical intimacy, that space? Why does it become more comfortable to stay here where there's pain and there's a lack of fulfillment in her marital relationship with her husband rather than wanting to move to a better place?
Well, the way we understand it is, in fact, there's a pattern for women who experience sexual abuse, and that's that they can be often wildly, even promiscuously sexual outside of marriage, where they feel in control and it's not being done to them. They typically shut down in marriage very quickly. Sometimes it happens already on the wedding night, sometimes during the honeymoon, for sure within the first few months. Mm. And the way we understand it, and it's just our theory, is that now she feels trapped like she did in the abuse. And so this is where the husband's role is so important. It really makes it difficult if she is feeling trapped and then he's pursuing and demanding.
Yeah.
So he's really got to give her space, and she has to learn that she is safe with him and to listen to herself and to free that part of herself and take it and own it as God's gift to her to enjoy with her husband.
Yeah.
And that takes time.
As sexual therapists, what are the top 3, 4, 5 issues that confront you with, 80% of the folks you see? What's the typical thing?
Well, in general, there are all those things that have to do with lifestyle and
that most of us experience that are just normal things.
Having children.
All
yes,
those things.
Yeah.
And then there can be relationship tension, if he has an anger problem or she's very controlling or she's dominating or he is always escaping, getting out of there, whatever those may be. So you got to deal with the relationship issues. But as we get to the sexual part, the primary thing that goes on there for the woman often is fear.
Huh. Describe that. What creates that kind of fear?
Well, if there's been some kind of hurt or woundedness, then her anxiety goes up, her fear triggers, and the fear dominates rather than she can't feel any of those feelings or God-given sensations because the panic sets in, the fear. If it's hurt, physical hurt or other hurt.
What would that fear come from? What would they be afraid of? I mean, that pain, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Are there women who don't experience that kind of trauma that still have fear?
Sometimes, yes. And sometimes that has to do with being warned that, you know, it's going to hurt.
This is awful.
He's going to use you, you know.
It's all men want.
Right. Yeah. The opposite kind of teaching we're trying to give to women. Mm. It's not for me. It's just he's going to come at you. You're not going to have a chance. And so that can create fear. Mm. Then probably one of the things that we deal with a lot is where there is difficulty being intimate and close. And this is where our formula for intimacy also helps. And that's which is probably most people would never think of when there wasn't bonding during the first year of life. And you think of how many of us, none of us remember our first year of life. So we have to kind of figure it out. For example, if a child was adopted after their first year of life, if they went from one home to another, if the parent or parents didn't hold the baby close, if they weren't able to
Attachment disorders,
yes.
You got one more thing you want to add to that?
Oh, well, I wanted to get back to some of those other issues that people struggle with.
Hit it.
Women particularly. One is, if somebody was raised in an alcoholic or out-of-control home where somebody was emotionally...
The home was volatile.
Volatile, upset, angry home where they felt... They had to be in control because the parents
weren't,
but particularly in an alcoholic home, that will set a lot of women into a resistant mode. They will resist getting into the sexual experience and be very avoidant of it.
Not just lack of desire. It's really fighting it.
Yeah.
They just fight it. When they finally give in, they get aroused, respond, and they don't like the feeling of having been out of control because that doesn't feel safe.
Whenever we teach a seminar, we always have 10, 15 couples come up and say, that's us.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happens.
Cliff and Joyce, I mean, this has been so good. And it, I think, has helped literally thousands of people this time and last time. Yeah. And I know that's your heart.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because you want people to experience the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. And even to talk about one's spirituality along with one's sexuality still makes the church so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember this is the gift of God. And when this is healthy, so many good things are occurring in that marital bond. And really, it impacts everything around them, their children, their community. That combination is so important. But as we end today, Cliff and Joyce, for that woman who has experienced that pain, she hasn't had that fulfillment, what's something she could do tonight to begin to engage in that area of pleasure that has not been there for her?
First thing we would encourage her to do would be to talk with her husband about what she heard on the broadcast today and tell him, couldn't believe what they were talking about.
Right.
But there were a couple of points in there that fit exactly with me. And I'd like to tell you about that, and then let's see where we go from here.
And have a time set aside to talk about it. Don't just do it when you crawl into bed at night.
Kind of undistracted time.
Yeah, undistracted time. Something got triggered in me that I realize I need to deal with, and it happened in listening to this broadcast. So let's plan a time to talk.
Well, again, it's been great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We hope this conversation has been of help. The book again is called Enjoy. The authors are Dr. Cliff and Joyce Penner. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
Today's conversation was enormously helpful for couples, and particularly women, in understanding some of the hindrances to sexual intimacy and marriage. But our guests didn't just leave us there. They shared so many constructive tips on how to manage and overcome those things that are preventing sexual freedom and joy in marriages. If you missed yesterday's broadcast or you'd like to listen to the whole program again, you'll find it on our website at safamily.co.za, on our Facebook page, or by downloading the podcast. We're in the middle of SA Marriage Week, and I hope you've been participating. We're praying that the daily investment you make in your marriage this week will contribute to a thriving relationship for the rest of the year and for many years to come. It's not too late to sign up and to find out about other events and activities taking place this week. You can get more details at samarriageweek.co.za. And if you'd like a copy of Cliff and Joyce's book, Enjoy, you'll find it at safamily.co.za, or you can call us on 031 716 3300 to order. While you're on our website, look out for another exciting initiative. Focus on the Family and the Colson Center are excited to introduce Truth Rising, a powerful new documentary examining our cultural chaos and pointing to the spiritual solutions we so urgently need. But it's more than just a documentary. It's a reminder of the unshakable truth we stand on. Prepare your heart, strengthen your faith, share the truth, and be inspired to stand up and make a difference. Streaming from the 12th of September, you can watch the trailer now at safamily.co.za/Truth Rising. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you to tune in next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.